Oh, yeah, I knew that. That's Sharon's.
It goes in the center.
Hey guys, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Browers Show, bringing you all the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. I have been running around all morning. It's been a busy morning, getting a lot of stuff done, getting stuff caught up. Yesterday we were open at the office for Memorial Day, but post office didn't pick up and UPS didn't pick up. So obviously everything was, you know, getting caught up. So we're getting a lot of stuff done for you guys today. Make sure everybody's taken care of. And be sure to check out thebrowershow.com.
Have you said welcome to the worldwide broadcast yet?
Yeah. Did I?
I don't think so. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research.
I have a feeling at this point in time now, after like 2,558 episodes, I think people know that we're bringing in the world health news. But we do have new listeners, so we add that in.
That's a lot of episodes.
Where'd the time
go? What were we thinking when we started this?
Where did the time go?
It's consumed my life. It's consumed me.
But be sure to check out the Brower Show. This is where we have the latest podcast every single day with a full breakdown on everything as far as about the episode, show notes, related episodes, and, of course, the products that we talk about on the show a lot of times in clinical references, discussing B-complex, discussing berberine like we did. There's actually another article I'm going to cover today on berberine that's very interesting that just came out. And I'll bring it up a little bit later on, though. It's talking about the rise in type 1 diabetes.
That's a bad one.
And they're actually talking about how berberine can be effective for that.
Whoa.
No, I'll get in a little bit. Let's we got some other articles we're going to cover here. But I wanted to cover that today. So it may not necessarily fix it, but it can definitely help out with some stuff here. And so, again, they're saying that the type 1 diabetes among children and teenagers is starting to become higher.
It says linked to COVID-19. How are they linking that?
They're starting to link, I think, pretty personally. A lot of the research they were doing was tested in people who got COVID and got the shot.
Great.
Surprise, surprise. So that shot is just the shot that keeps on giving.
Well, I've got an article on that right now.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. It's an interesting by Karen Kingston. And it says, why didn't Americans unite to save America? No war in history of mankind has produced a catastrophic level loss of life, economic harm, and global destruction of freedom as the COVID-19 war on humanity.
That's actually almost an accurate statement.
No, it's very good. So, you know, she's talking about the Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And then she's talking about the COVID war in 19, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just, and then so she goes into detail on what it says. She goes, you know, she goes details on how the enemies of America created government policies to attack the American people, from HHS Secretary Czar's January 31st, 2020 declaration that COVID-19 is a threat to public health and safety, and February the 4th, 2020 national security threat to the Unlawful PrEP Act, the illicit use of the PCR test to gather our DNA, the CDC's COVID-19 quarantine camps, and the rollout of COVID-19 mRNA injections designed to cause disease, disabilities, and death. So she's really tagging this thing. But then she asked some interesting questions. I'm going to let you guys read this yourself. You go ahead and sign up for her newsletter if you want. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how much she charges for all this, but this one's free right now. And it says, Attack one, coordinate with foreign adversaries to manufacture and stockpile PCR tests for purposes of gathering genetic profiles of Americans to be uploaded to a global database.
Yeah.
That was interesting. And then it says, attack two, begin the global production of bioweapons under the guise of COVID medical countermeasures while guaranteeing blanket immunity for the manufacturers of the government. We've talked about this.
Yep.
And attack three, legalize the assault, bribery, and murder of Americans by healthcare providers who use EUA medical countermeasures and then financially incentivize and praise them for doing so. This is what they did with the remdesivir.
Yep.
And the ventilators. Gas four, attack four, gaslight, terrorize, and guilt the American people into house arrest, resulting in the destruction of the economy. On March the 31st, 2020, during the White House briefing, doctors Anthony Fauci, bleh, and Deborah Briggs, bleh, one with a scarf, God, that girl makes me sick, presented two bell-shaped epidemic curves estimating that COVID-19 would cause 2.2 million deaths,
yep,
but Americans could flatten the curve to only 140,000 deaths by taking immediate interventions through nationwide lockdown.
It was a total lie. It was a complete lie. The whole thing was a total lie.
Yeah. Here's the major issue. 5 days prior to his press conference, Dr. Fauci published his professional expert opinion that the clinical consequences of COVID-19 are more similar to seasonal flu.
Yeah.
Then he comes up with this 5 days later. on March the 26th, 2020. Fauci announced his colleagues in China, the global scientific community, COVID-19 was basically the same as the flu. And so he just goes, he just starts talking about all the stuff being the flu, and then he turns right around and wants to do it. And said, so, you know, here's the thing. Well, someone look back 80 years from now and ask, why didn't the Americans unite to save America? Number one, the Americans were told they were going to a COVID-19 quarantine camp for public safety, and once and they were no longer high risk to others, they could go home. Number two, the Americans didn't know that the vaccines were bioweapons and thought they were winning when they dropped the vaccine mandates. Number three, the Americans believed the top secret military operation in charge and the destruction of their nation and injury and murder of adults and children was part of the plan to wake people up before America could be saved. This is interesting. And then she reports 2 Thessalonians here, 2:9-11, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them powerful delusions so they will believe a lie and they will all be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. And, you know, you think about it on this, you think, how in the world did this happen? You know, why in the world did this go forth the way it did? And Austin, we sat here every single day during COVID.
Yep.
5 days a week. And we told everyone, don't go and use remdesivir. Make sure you get vitamin C intravenously. Get ivermectin from your doctor if you can. Get hydroxychloroquine if you can. Increase your vitamin C. Take your D3. Take your zinc. We talked about alternative measures and alternative protocols, which got busted, by the way, busted on YouTube.
No, real quick. And every other platform.
I had over 50 million views, by the way. They took them all down. They're gone. They're just like, they're gone forever. And, you know, because we would not back off. And, you know, some of our other friends who would not back off, one of them, it cost them over $5 million in legal fees.
And that's just because he said D3 was good for the immune system.
That's all he said.
That's what he said.
He's a good friend of mine, and they kept promising him. And this thing was in court for years. And finally, they settled with him and said, oh, by the way, we're not going to give you any money for what we did to you, but we'll let you keep your license. And he called me up. I'll never forget this. He called me up when they started this lawsuit on him, and they were asking for billions of dollars in retribution from him, which, of course, he did not have. And I told him, I said, if I were you, I would settle as quickly as possible. And he's, oh, I'll never do that. I'll never settle. Well, he settled after he spent $5 million, almost bankrupted himself. And the thing that's crazy about this is that nothing was done to the people who did this to him. Nothing was done. And it's sad that this kind of stuff happens over and over and over again. So she asked some very valid questions here. Why did we allow ourselves to get locked down? Why didn't we take a stand? Well, I've got an answer for that, Austin.
What's here?
Fluoride. Tricyclic antidepressants, Prozac, fluorine compounds, drugs.
Mainstream media propaganda that has so much control over people's minds they don't even realize it's happening.
No, no. 1984 is here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the drugging of America is absolute.
Yeah, I remember, and I just pulled this up, I remember that graph, that 2.2 million death graph when they put that up there. And I remember every single news outlet for days. Mm-hmm. 24-hour coverage.
Flatten the curve.
Putting that graph up. The death count. Remember on the side of the Fox News, side of CNN, side of NBC, they had all these arrows, red arrows, corona deaths per day, COVID-19 deaths, hospitalization, arrows going up, 10,000 deaths a day, 20,000 deaths. They used the same psychological control mechanisms that they do on slot machines. It was identical. And I talked to a guy about that who used to be in the gambling industry when it happened. He said, dude, you do understand what they're doing, right? He goes, they're literally predicting what everybody's going to do by telling everyone what they have to do before they're going to do it.
That's called neuro-linguistic programming.
And people did it.
Mm-hmm.
It literally worked to a T. Everybody got terrified. Everybody listened to exactly what they were told. And the thing was, Florida was the kind of complete opposite. We shut down for like 4 weeks. I remember right when Florida opened back up in April, we went to Daytona Beach. And we did this as a point because Daytona Beach had, you know, the beach you can drive the trucks on. And we had a big truck show planned there for months in advance. Back in 2019, we had planned the show. And everybody said, are you going out there? I said, am I going to take my truck to go drive out on the beach and go get fresh air from the Atlantic?
No.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to take my truck out there.
They didn't want you to, though.
They didn't want us to. No. I said, are you going to do it? I said, absolutely going to do it. I said, well, they're going to shut the beaches down. I said, they're not going to shut the beach down very long. I said, and then sure enough, the mayor of Daytona came out and he said, we're not shutting the beaches down anymore. We've shut them down for 4 weeks. He goes, we have no tourism. All the businesses are crumbling. He said, everything's crumbling. They opened it back up, and we flooded the beaches. And they came out there. I will never forget this. They would go out there with Daytona Patrol. They tried this at first, and it didn't work long term. They went out there, and they said, every vehicle has to be 10 feet apart.
What?
I'm not joking. I never told you this. They went out there, and they said, every vehicle has to be 10 feet apart.
When they were driving?
No, when they were parked.
Okay.
And we came up, and the trucks, you know, we had them beside each other. And I said, okay. Well, you got to move 10 feet apart. I said, okay. Are you going to do it? I said, no. He goes, well, you know, this is the mandate. I said, if you could, officer, please, show me in the statutory rule book what statute it's under that every vehicle has to be 10 feet apart in Daytona Beach. I will be happy to follow if it's a Florida statute. Well, it's a mandate. I said, okay. Well, you guys have to do it now. I said, okay. You're not going to do it, are you? I said, no, sir. He goes, I don't want to deal with this either. Got a stroke so ball. No, he was irritated because he's like, what am I doing? I mean, you're going to be able to do a tape measure? Your truck's 9 feet apart from one another. You have to move it a foot. And you can tell he hated it too. And then finally, Daytona Beach just went back completely to normal. And everybody went, oh my gosh, why'd this happen? Because nobody cared and nobody complied. That was the problem, is so many people went along with it. When you start realizing, if you got 100 trucks on the beach and everybody's 8 feet apart, they can't tow us all. What are you going to do? Get a wrecker out there, start dragging, start ticketing everybody because we're 8 feet instead of 10?
Well, you know, Rand Paul said that. They can't arrest all of us for not taking
the
shot.
That's the old tier. They can't hang us all. Can't hang us all. There's 100 of us here. There's 2 of y'all there. What are you going to do? We're not breaking the law. We were not breaking any law. They were breaking a mandate that Fauci had put in
Remember,
place.
They did that to us at the county board meeting.
Yep.
They told us we had to be temperature swabs and all that.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. We had to do a temperature swab, and we basically, what they did, that and they said something. Mm-hmm. They didn't want a PCR test.
They wanted us to have, like, proof we've been vaccinated.
Yeah. And then they wanted, and then they had a temperature gun. Mm-hmm. We had to check your, and you have to wear a mask. They had mm-hmm. the mask box, and they had the temperature gun. I said, no. We have to do it. I said, I'm walking in.
And the police officer, the sheriff standing right there, said, are you going to arrest us for not wearing a mask? He goes, no, I'm not going to do that at all. And so I just, the question is this, and I alluded to it at the beginning. They've waited now until they've drugged down probably 3/4 of the population.
Yeah.
You know, with drugs. And if a person's addicted to drugs, they'll do anything and stay in compliance
exactly
to get
right.
their drug,
exactly
especially
right.
OxyContin.
Oh,
yeah. When Purdue Pharma did that back 25 years ago, and they started pushing it saying it was non-addictive.
OxyContin is a non-addictive opiate because it's controlled release.
So they made $100 billion. They got
what?
Fined. They made $100 billion. They got fined $8 billion. So that's a good return on investment, I guess. But the point was, it's just it never, ever ended. And then it was set up with those pill mills that as long as you had a doctor writing a prescription, it was legal.
It was legal.
And, well, they were doing it. And all of a sudden, they all get arrested for doing something that's supposedly legal.
Yep.
And so it became a really big problem with Purdue Pharma.
Dried up the market for OxyContin.
And what it's done is it's pushed the fentanyl and the heroin market through the roof of the United States of America.
Exactly.
And if a person's addicted to fentanyl or a person's addicted to heroin or a person's addicted to OxyContin, they will do whatever they have to do to maintain their addiction. And I've seen it. They will lie. They will cheat. They'll steal.
Yeah.
They'll do anything. And so when you get a big chunk of the population on Prozac or Zoloft or OxyContin or other drugs or fluoride or whatever you want to call it, the population loses its aggressive tendencies to fight. They want to just be compliant.
Well, and this is why they've pushed so much in the industry now to try to push everybody's testosterone to the floor.
That's right.
With the soybean oil.
That's right.
With all these estrogen mimickers. With this fake meat that's made out of soybean. I mean, I was at Publix yesterday. It was fake chicken.
Yeah.
Fake chicken.
Yep.
I flipped it over. I was curious. It was plant-based chicken. It was soybean protein with canola oil and a whole trove of other additives to make it taste good. I'm like, oh, yeah. You want to just rock your testosterone to the floor. Why don't you eat some of this stuff? Straight soybean-based chicken.
Well, and, you know, and I see it more and more and more. I don't like talking about this, but it's the way it is. And it's basically erectile dysfunction. You know, we've got a lot of men now that basically have no ability to have sex, or they have porn-induced erectile dysfunction, and they've got all these women now that are basically being unbelievably mean to them. Now there's an article that came out this morning. It says that these Muslim women coming into Germany are more aggressive and have more testosterone and more tendency for violent acts than the German men do.
That's a horrible, horrible
Well, because they beat down Germans so bad.
No, they have psychologically. It's horrible over there.
No, it's awful. And so what they do is, this is a giant 1984 George Orwell thing that they've done. This has been implemented since the 30s. They've started this with the Frankfurt School.
And then you've had with BlackRock coming in now and pushing DEI through all the different companies. I talked to a good friend of mine the other day who works for a mortgage company. And he's constantly in HR. He's constantly in HR all the time getting written up. Because these females, he's told me this. He goes, it's so annoying. These females will get irritated. And I'm not picking just on females, but they'll get offended by anything he says at all. Anything. Turn them in. HR, he's got to come in there like, hey, well, you're in here again. Somebody said you made a comment and they were offended. And he goes, well, is that offensive comment? He's like, he said even HR's like, no. Well, but they turned you in and they said they were offended by it.
A lot of people, a lot of businesses, if you have a real pretty girl who's working with you and you ask her out on a date and she turns you in to HR, they will terminate the guy who asked the girl.
Seen that happen before.
We've seen it happen. I mean, I asked
not making like a sexual comment something inappropriate. Actually talking to her like, hey, would you like to go get a cup of coffee after work? No, straight to HR. You made a pass on me, basically. I'm offended.
Well, no, and the guy was terminated.
Yeah.
And I asked the owner, I said, why did you terminate him? He goes, we don't want a lawsuit.
No, that's exactly what he said. He goes, it's gotten so bad now in this industry where you can sue everybody for anything about anything. I'm offended. I'm suing you.
Here's another article.
It's crazy.
Orwell was right. The dystopia of 1984 is already here. Wow. How many fingers am I holding up? Winston Smith, we talked about that the other day. I posted it online. The protagonist of 1984 answers based on what his eyes tell him. There are only four. Only the party agent directing his re-education insists there are five. By dint of electric shocks and various forms of torture, he begins to doubt his own perception until at the end of the book, he also perceives them. There are five, no doubt about it. The passage of George Orwell's great dystopian novel in which the truth yields to the power of the pressure. The scene is a symbol that Peck has chosen and describes society in Orwell. So they basically continue to condition us, not by electrical shock, but by drug therapy.
Right.
You know, by TV, by the Disney grooming syndicate.
That's exactly right. Okay?
You know, last night I went to see the new Mission Impossible, and it's okay. It's not anywhere near as good as Top Gun Maverick, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's too long. It's like 3 hours long.
Well, the problem is, this is part two of the last one.
No.
The last one was like 2.5 hours.
Now, I'll give Tom Cruise credit. He's in great shape in this movie.
Yeah.
But the point is, some of the stuff is so unrealistic. He's at 500 feet, and he ascends with that gear on.
500 feet?
Underwater. And he takes his gear off.
Full free dive at 500 feet?
Well, he comes up to the surface, and he lives through it. He goes, you know, cold, and he gets in the
shot. Was he breathing compressed air?
No, he had nothing on. He was coming straight up. Well, no, you can't do that.
No. I mean, there's been some crazy freedivers who have gone down.
Well, no, he was down at 500 feet. I'm not going to ruin the plot. But the point is, the movie's worth seeing, and I'm going to do it to support Tom Cruise.
The problem with it is they've made so many of them now, they have to keep taking stuff further. They did this, and this is a big joke, with Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
By the time they got to the last Fast and the Furious, they have gotten so horrible.
They call it jumping the shark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Because in that one movie they had with the Fonz, he was skiing and there's a shark swimming beside him and he jumps over the shark.
Yeah.
So it made the term jumping the shark.
Yeah.
They've got to make it more and more and more improbable and realistic.
Ludicrous at some point.
Now he did have a biplane scene in here where Tom Cruise was, you know, crawling around on the wing, which really was him. And I'm sure he was wired in. And I've flown biplanes before.
It's pretty wild, though, to be warm.
You remember when I flew that biplane? No, this is funny. Can I tell him a story on this one?
Sure. I was a kid. I was so
He was like 8 years old. We go into this campground in the RV, and this biplane, there's a landing strip right behind the campground. And so I walk, I told Austin, I said, I'm going to go ride in this biplane. I want to fly it. And Austin goes, oh, he'll never let you fly in that plane. I said, well, I'm going to go take care of it. So
I met a little friend, and I think we were like chasing frogs with a spear or something.
Yeah, well, so what happens, I walk down to the end of the runway, knock on the guy's house. I said, man, I love the plane. And it was a World War II Navy plane.
That's
He had completely restored. And I said, what will you charge me to give me a ride? He goes, oh, if you want to ride that bat, I'll give you a ride. So I'm driving that. We're to take it off on the runway. Austin's looking at me. I'm in the cockpit waving at him. Open plane. He let me do an inside loop. He let me do barrel rolls. I was flying the plane. It was a blast.
I remember that.
I mean, it was great.
I look back at that now. That guy had put a lot of trust in you as far as when you
did. He had a double set of sticks behind
him. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's going to make sure I would. But the plane was so easy to fly. I watched
was
that.
It really?
Yeah, oh, my gosh. It's got two wings on it, but it's got so much lift. There was a great scene with the two of those old planes like that in the movie. It was phenomenal. Really was phenomenal. I enjoyed that part of it. But the submarine at 500 feet and freedom. No, man. Some of that was just too much.
Well, yeah, if you're a submarine at 500 feet, you're breathing compressed air.
Well, no, he was inside of the submarine with stale air in the inside of the submarine that had been sunk for years. No, it was too much.
I'd have to look at my tables on that one.
No, because he would not be breathing compressed air. It would be regular air because inside he's the old air is just stale.
Okay.
And, no, I'm not going to tell
you. Yeah, I don't know.
But the movie is worth seeing, and I like Tom Cruise.
It's 500
already,
foot.
It's already done close to 100 million in box office sales. It's not going to do what Maverick did because you're not going to want to go see it over and over and over again like people do with Maverick because it's so long.
Yeah.
But it was very, very good as far as the action scenes. And I'll say Tom Cruise is probably the greatest action hero in the history of the world because he does a lot of his own stunts.
He still does.
Yeah, he still
does. He's adamant about it. He broke his ankle in that doggone that second or last one.
Yeah.
He's jumping that building. So he snapped it.
Oh, yeah.
They were mad. The whole movie got delayed like 10 weeks. We can do all your scenes sitting down right now.
Yeah, but it was funny. Now, but I like Tom Cruise.
But I want to get into this now. As I told you guys I was going to, this is very intriguing. They said now the rise in type 1 diabetes among young people linked to COVID-19. The systematic review published by the Journal of American Medical Association analyzed 42 studies on diabetes instances, and they looked back at 2020, and they looked back at basically 2021 and saw that type 1 diabetes cases went up by 27% in 2021.
That's huge.
That's huge, okay? Now, there's a couple reasons behind this. They even said right here, the higher risk of developing the diabetes in type 1 is unclear with the connection between COVID-19. They said type 1 is well-established as autoimmune disease characterized by the body's attacking its own pancreatic beta cells.
Well, that could be part of the immune suppressant in the vaccine.
And it says right here, viral infections and vaccinations are both known for triggering the autoimmune disease. The COVID-19 virus and its vaccine could be no exception, said Dr. Paul Merrick, the critical care physician. Said numerous cases have been documented instances of patients developing type 1 diabetes after the COVID-19 vaccination. The spike protein presents in the COVID virus and those produced by the body after vaccination are very likely to be causing autoimmunity. Now, so could this be directly linked? It's hard to say because there's so many factors right here, and it talks about type 2 diabetes as well, going into other issues.
Hang on one second. Go back a second. This is good. It says the phenomenon of molecular mimicry is seen in vaccine-injured patients and those with long COVID, Dr. Merrick said. Studies have found autoantibodies and antibodies that attack the body's own tissues or cells of both groups of patients.
Yeah.
And you see this over and over again. People have had severe problems with depression since they've had COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, I've seen that. And also that the body's own, the body's attacking itself. And, you know, and I remember when we had the clinic, I used to have people come in with type 1 diabetes, and I would do everything we possibly could to try to, you know, reengage the pancreas because the islets of Langerhans no longer produce insulin. And there was nothing you could do. I mean, we tried.
Yeah.
There was nothing you could do. But now type 2 is easy to correct most cases.
Now, here they have some. Now, and this is where I want to get to. They actually have some recommendations for type 1 diabetes here now.
Remove spike proteins?
Yes.
Whoa.
And so it talks about here as far as intermittent fasting, prolonged fast, even for 3 days. Other recommendations based on removal of including ivermectin, anti-parasitic drug, and N-acetylcysteine supplementation. Imagine that. We've been talking about that for five years now.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. They also said a possible treatment for type 1 diabetes. And again, this is what the article and research study said. I'm not making any claims
This is what they're saying in this research study.
Supplement for vitamin D. Researchers show that vitamin D supplementation reduces autoimmune disease risk by 22%. Infants given vitamin D also had lower type 1 diabetes incident in the 2001 study. It's what they're referring back to.
Well, then, you know what I find interesting with this, because of this immune response and the inflammation that they're talking about here, you know, vitamin D is what activates the macrophages, the white blood cells, the killer cells. And without that, you start having cytokines released, which cause massive inflammation. And I wonder if the vitamin D was the reason that these people started developing diabetes to begin with, because their macrophages couldn't view you. Because most people just, they most people go to the beach and they take a bath in sunscreen.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they turn into this like Casper the ghost walking around, and they don't get any sun, or they're running around with an umbrella all the time. And what happens is you don't produce vitamin D if you don't get sun.
Well, Dr. Kadigi here said that one of the first therapies he uses with type 1 diabetes is to increase their vitamin D level ranges from 60 to 90 ng/mL, which is about 6,000 to 10,000 IUs of vitamin D per day.
Imagine that.
Because again, this is what this doctor's saying. And so the biggest thing that I continue to tell everybody on here is at least give this stuff an option. If you got doctors that are using this in treatments and they're using this in therapies,
scroll up some
and then it says reduce sugar intake, sugar contributes to inflammation. Studies have found those who consume high levels of sugar over extended periods have higher risk of autoimmune disease.
Hydroxychloroquine?
Yes, that's another one they have in here. They said essentially this doctor's talked about prescribing hydroxychloroquine for patients positive for type 1 diabetes. He says anti-malaria drug is a powerful drug that fights autoimmune diseases. Interestingly enough, they said studies have shown that hydroxychloroquine can also reduce blood sugar associated with reducing risk of type 1. Now, here's another one that gets really big. Plant supplements, curcumin, turmeric, and berberine.
Berberine again?
Also have anti-diabetic properties
that
can help prevent type 1 diabetes. That curcumin helps decrease blood sugar and insulin levels. Curcumin also reduces inflammation in the gut, which can also increase the risk of autoimmunity. Berberine, which has been found to be a potent blood glucose-lowering properties, has been shown to protect pancreatic beta cells and improve insulin resistance. So again, berberine hits the nail on the head, again, as a possible supplementation.
I take it every day.
I run it too.
Yeah, I mean,
I've had a lot of people now run it with the cinnamon extract, that kit that we have, as far as just burning body fat for the summer.
Well, you know, it's funny because the one lady that I knew up there in Gainesville, she's down to like 15 pounds now in just a few weeks with that stuff.
And the thing is, you don't have to go on some super, super, super heavy modified, don't eat anything all day. I had, you know, two salads with a crouton. You're going to feel like trash. You're going to feel like trash after a couple days. You can still eat some decent food. And one thing, too, that I've been reading a lot on, and I've had people do this. I've done it before. I don't do it as much as I probably should, is keep your food window, your actual food window, not about an eight-hour window.
Pull this one up so they can see this one.
Berberine?
Rich, give me screen four for just a few seconds. Let me read this while you have it on there, Rich. Berberine has been found to have a potent blood glucose-lowering property. Berberine has also been shown to protect pancreatic beta cells and could improve insulin resistance, which is Syndrome X.
Right.
That's when you – okay, back to us, Rich. Because what happens is when you have Syndrome X, it means you have high sugar and high insulin at the same time. And your body cannot burn fat. You start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so if it brings down this insulin resistance, which is what I thought it must be doing to have this woman lose that much weight that fast, it has to be something that's going to be really good for your pancreas and also very good for your entire body as far as sugar regulation.
Oh, it's going to strengthen the pancreas a lot. And another thing, too, that also can help out as far as getting blood sugar stable is morning fasted cardio for burning body fat. That's incredible. The research that's shown that about 10 to 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how much you can handle, low-intensity cardio fasted first thing in the morning does incredible results for burning body fat. And the way I always looked at it, too, if you start off in the morning, first thing in the morning, with fasted cardio, your day can only get better. It only gets better. It gets better every time.
You get to eat.
You get to eat. You get to do other stuff. So you can knock your fasted cardio out first thing in the morning. It's like, well, hooray. Everything's easy the rest of the day now. I stocked out 20 minutes of cardio starving.
Well, you know, it was interesting. There was a guy who really started that. I'm not going to mention his name, but he had a muscle magazine back 25 years ago. And he said what it does, it helps to promote the release of glucagon, which is that hormone that basically burns body fat and releases it rather than insulin.
And see, what it does is a lot of people understand, you know, you do 10 to 15 to 20 minutes of fasted cardio, you're probably only going to burn, you know, 200, 300 calories.
You know what's funny with this guy, though?
But it gets your metabolism ramped up through the day.
It was funny. He was always putting people down. You know, he was like in his 20s. Oh, yeah, well, he's gained weight. He's always like calling people out for fat shaming people.
Yeah.
And he's huge now. He's obese.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah, last picture I saw of him. I mean, so the crazy part about it is be careful who you fat shame.
Yeah.
You know, because quite frankly, I mean, everybody wants to say, well, this guy's, you know, you're not doing 4 hours of fasting cardio every single morning.
Oh, do some of the stuff.
Oh, my God.
There was some influencer got roasted. He's going to jail now for another Ponzi scheme.
Oh, really?
Oh, this fitness influencer. He goes, you know, I work all day. I don't go to bed till 2 in the morning, and then I'm up at 5 a.m. for fasted cardio. I only sleep 3 hours a day. Just total BS. I mean, complete lies. And then the guy comes to find out he's been doing a bunch of Ponzi scheme, bunch of people ripped off, bunch of investors. Now he's getting investigated. Now he's probably going to prison. Be very careful who you listen to with some of this outlandish stuff.
Is that the guy who's real cut up?
No, he's one guy. He's covered in tattoos. He actually was in prison before. Now he's going back to prison.
Well, no, the sad part about it is that you got to be real careful who you listen to. Yeah. This kind of stuff.
And so, and look at the stuff that people are talking about. Analyze it. The thing what we do on this show is I try to bring you guys useful, everyday, realistic topics, ideas, concepts, activities you can do and integrate in a normal life. Saying that you only need to sleep 2 or 3 hours a day and you need to be doing 5 hours of fasted cardio every day and you need to be in the gym 4 to 5 hours a day. When people say stuff like that, just...
You know, it's interesting. Boyer Cove.
Yep.
Yeah. He won Mr. Universe. He should have won Mr. Olympia, but he didn't. And I met him. I talked to him several times. And back, you know, way back when I was still working out hard, he gave me a really good workout to follow. And here's what he told me. He says, if you circuit train, okay, you will burn so much body fat, you won't know what to do with yourself.
No, that's true.
Okay?
Especially high intensity.
He says, you don't have to go in and do a whole bunch of cardio every day. He says, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
He said, if you go from one exercise to another exercise to another exercise to another exercise with no rest, you'll get your heart rate up, you'll start sweating, you'll get your cardio in
that way.
And you also build collateral circulation.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is you don't have to worry about sitting there on the treadmill for 2 hours.
No, I don't ever recommend that long of cardio. There's more productive things
What you're going to do to your joints and your hips and your knees and everything
remember,
else.
Remember, too, after about 45 to 50 minutes of any weight training, resistance, exercising cardio, your cortisol levels go through the roof after about 45 to 50 minutes. By an hour, that's cutoff time. I try not to be in the gym or doing anything longer than an hour at a time.
He told me 15 to 30 minutes, period, per day. That's it.
Boy, yeah.
He said, I was way over training.
Oh, yeah.
Way too many hours in the gym.
A lot of people do that.
I was working each body part 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And boy, he said, stop that.
Yeah, in the gym for 2 and 3 hours at a time.
And I remember he started me on a chest workout and a lat workout that took 15 minutes to 20 minutes. That's it, twice a week. And I stayed sore for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I remember my coat size went up from like a 46 to a 50. I couldn't believe it. I grew like crazy. I got leaner.
Well, that's what I ask people all the time. When people ask me as far as for advice or trying to get in shape again, and I said, you know, you don't have to be in the gym 2 or 3 hours
nope.
a day. You need to be. You can exercise about 3 to 4 to 5 times.
Just do something.
20 to 30 minutes a day. I said, just cut out one episode on Netflix that night.
Ooh. Oh, not Netflix. I got rid of my Netflix.
Well, good. Nobody needs Netflix. But I'm saying people are talking about, I don't have enough time for this. You don't have time to exercise for 20, 30, 40 minutes a day? But you can go binge watch a TV show for four or five hours a night?
If you're going to do this, if you're going to do the Netflix garbage, it all goes gay on that show anyway. The Netflix always goes
gay.
No,
that's why I got rid of it. Every show that comes out, and I turn it off. And they don't have any good movies anymore.
Well, they'll have the series on, and within 4 to 5 shots.
They do every time.
Something goes gay.
Something goes real gay.
Real gay. They're having a Viking show on and something goes gay. And I'm like, what the heck, man? You know?
Two dudes start making out and you're like, what happened here?
Or, you know, Unleash the Butch Dyke Lesbians. I mean, unbelievable. I'm like, I'm not watching this. So I got rid of it. It's terrible.
Unleash the Horde.
Oh, by the way, I gotta warn you guys about something because this happened to me a few weeks ago. I was on some silly dating app.
Your phone dinging.
No, I'm turning this thing off.
You're blowing up over there.
I was on some silly dating app, and somebody starts asking me about crypto and about how much money I've made in crypto. I mean, some total stranger.
Oh, they're probably
a scammer.
Scammer, yeah.
Trying to get personal information.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, I made a bunch of money in the crypto market. How about you? I'm like, who are you? I immediately blocked them, you know. But here's interesting. Crypto shock. Crypto investor is kidnapped and tortured his ex-business partner with a chainsaw for weeks to gain access to his crypto accounts.
There you go.
Are you listening
That's
to me?
Pretty rough.
Because they can't track this money like that. They don't even know where it goes.
Well, it's very easy. If you get a hold of somebody's digital wallet, you can siphon all the money out of it and pretty much make it disappear.
Yeah.
And there's no way to get it back.
A crypto investor has been arrested for kidnapping his former business partner and torturing him with a chainsaw inside an apartment.
Chainsaw?
Yeah. He's been charged with assault and unlawful imprisonment after he allegedly took a victim captive for days in a bid to get access to his crypto account. He looks like a little weasel to me. Cops arrested Woltz and the other woman after the victim was able to escape the posh $40,000 a month apartment. $40,000 a month apartment?
For an apartment?
What the, no wonder he's trying to steal money. What an idiot making a decision. Oh, my God.
Bad financial decisions.
The victim told investigators he was Woltz's former partner and had done business in the past. They had a dispute. And they went, and it went, and he decided he arrived in the U.S., but I'm out. Well, anyhow, so here's the deal. Don't give people information. If you do any kind of crypto trading, don't tell anybody else.
No, that's the thing. Don't be going online.
By the way, I don't do crypto at all.
Don't be going online and bragging about, oh man, I just made this much on Bitcoin this week and this one. I've seen people do that before to try to get other people drug into it. Your financial investments are your financial investments. Keep them that way. Nobody needs to know about what you're doing. Don't be bragging about what you have here, have there, made here. It, quite frankly, it's nobody's business.
That's right.
And secondly, you're putting a real big target on your back if you start putting stuff out there like that, start ranting about how much you have in your digital wallet and this and that.
Well, you know, a guy kidnaps his business partner, tortures him.
Chainsaw. You see Scarface too.
You can't be doing a chainsaw for very long. You know, unless you're just trying to.
Unless he was just trying to spook him, and shoving his face on. That's sketchy though.
Oh, by the way, emasculated gospel. Pastor warns Christians are neglecting critical part of the Bible. This is an interesting article because we covered this in Angel Wars. It's all about this pastor in Tennessee. Says that people don't really want to think about angels or demons or the supernatural. That's true, Austin.
That's true.
They don't want to think about it. In this new book, Angels and Demons and You, it tackles the very subject. Now, I've not read this book, so I'm not promoting it. It says most of us are comfortable living a theoretical discussion or having a theoretical discussion about angels and demons. I'll say it this way. Most of us are comfortable talking about the pre-Adamic race, but not really getting into it. Most of us are used to basically, you know, not understanding that haunted houses can be very real.
Very real.
You know, most of us are comfortable having a theoretical discussion about angels and demons, he recently told CBN News, noting, though, that when it's made personal, the conversation becomes more complex and unpalatable for some. The most important part is imagining there are spiritual forces, here we go, that are impacting your life today without any question, he explained. And if we get to that point, the discussion gets very significant. The preacher said there was an obsessive move toward rationalism since the Enlightenment, that one of these has led to many lose touch with the spiritual dynamic. And he says, we don't realize what's going on around us. We don't realize what's going on in other dimensions. I'm adding this, and that when we finally understand that there's other places that we can't see with our physical eyes, Austin, in other dimensions, we start to realize that that world is very, very, very real. That's why I did it. We did a 3.5-hour program on this on Angel Wars. It's right at the top of the website. You can click on it and listen to it. And we go into what happened to Lucifer, why did he fall, why did he get judged, why the earth was recreated, why we had two floods, not just one. All of that stuff's covered in Angel Wars in depth with a lot of scripture. So he's right about this. People need to really think about it. Because for most people, Austin, when they talk about angels and demons, to them it's just, like he says, it's theoretical. Well, you know, imagine this or imagine that. Let me say something to you, and this is really important, because I lived in a haunted house for about 5 years. We actually called in a place called Spiritual Warfare Ministries to come out there and get the place cleansed out. You think, well, this sounds crazy. I didn't say it didn't sound crazy. I agree with you. It was crazy as all get out. But what I'll say is this. If you ever live in a haunted house, if you ever see something that you can't explain that's real, you won't go see a scary movie, Austin.
Especially not these, all the weird ones.
No, you won't go do it, because you won't let that stuff go through your eyes and into your mind. You don't want to see it. And so that's the problem. When you pretend like it's all like fun and games, it's all funny, funny, ha, 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 and you haven't experienced it yourself, then you don't think it's real. The Bible is very, very real, and it talks about spiritual encounters with beings from other dimensions on an ongoing basis, and, you know, and Jesus himself even walked through the door. We understand all of this stuff is very, very possible from a physics standpoint when it comes to, you know, to quantum mechanics. So always get that we live in a world that's basically a holographic projection. Just thought I'd mention that to you real quick. We covered this and understand that we need to make sure that we stay right with God through Jesus Christ. You find something.
This is huge. This is huge. We were waiting for it to see if it happened. Just got released 20 minutes ago on Tuesday. CDC is pulling the shot from the shot schedule. RFK Jr.
You said this would happen yesterday because they had to produce a brief.
Today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC.gov recommended immunization schedule. Bottom line, it's common sense and it's good science. We are one step closer to realizing the promise to make America healthy again. This is basically from RFK Jr.
Hey, everybody. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS secretary, and I'm here today with NIH director Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and FDA commissioner Dr. Marty McGarry. I couldn't be more pleased to announce that as of today, the COVID vaccine for healthy children and healthy pregnant women has been removed from the CDC recommended immunization schedule. Last year,
this is huge. The administration
urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot despite the lack of any clinical data to support the repeat booster strategy in children.
That ends today. It's common sense and it's good science.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
We're now one step closer to realizing President Trump's promise to make America healthy again.
Now, wow. The thing I have to say is I know I'm going to get the emails and people are going to say, well, it should never have been added to the shot schedule from the beginning. You're 100% right, and I'm in full agreement with you. I've been fighting this for the last 4 years.
No argument here.
No argument there. But at some point in time, it had to ask the question, how long were we going to go on with this debacle and keep having healthy kids get injected?
Now, here's the problem with this.
Okay.
Now, you guys, give me this camera, Rich. Here's the problem with this. That shot attacks testicles and ovaries.
That is very true.
And there have been tens of millions of children now that have gotten that shot.
That is very true.
In prepubescent development.
Prepubescent? 6 months old?
Like I said, prepubescent development.
6 months old?
Okay. So what is that going to do to these millions and millions of children who got this shot that attacked?
This 3-4 year range now.
Because I can tell you what the high probability is going to be. You're going to have more and more and more children who basically are confused by their sexual identity because they're not going to have proper sexual secondary characteristics developed. They won't have the hormones available to them. This was the goal here, by the way. We told you this 4 years ago when they started doing this crap. They wanted to destroy the young children to prevent them from basically having more children.
But you're going to have a 3-year gap, too. You're going to have this 3-year gap, this test study now, mm-hmm. that they're going to be able to watch all
But remember, all these kids from 6 months up all the way through high school now took these shots.
That's true.
Okay, that means millions and tens of millions of children took these shots, which are directly going to affect sperm and ovarian function, and it's going to massively reduce the population of the kids as far as their ability to have children. Look at what it did as far as how it caused so many women who took these shots to basically lose their children.
Oh, yeah, spontaneous abortion.
It caused placental detachment. We covered all of this stuff in detail years ago, but now I'm really happy he did this, but at what cost did these pharmaceutical manufacturers do it? Now, Paul Craig Roberts has something very interesting to say. He says the MAGA revolution is being rolled back by the ruling establishment. He says big pharma and agribusiness are killing us. And there's little we can do about it. The American Farm Bureau says it will not stop profit maximizing wages for the sake of the American people. He said big pharma said will not stop vaccinating children to death and illnesses. That's the other 76 vaccines.
Yeah.
Okay. Robert F. Kennedy says he's leaving the root cause of ill health alone because there's a million farmers who rely on glyphosate.
Ooh.
He's not getting rid of Roundup.
Well, the problem is now, and I'm just going to get in a second, we've gotten to a point now where if we pull glyphosate off the market, we're going to have an explosion of difficulty trying to grow crops
because
of the Roundup resistant weeds.
Here he goes. 100% of corn in this country relies on glyphosate.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true with organic.
Well, except for organic, yeah.
And we are not going to do anything to jeopardize that business model. He has non-ethic American judges appointed by Democrats have stopped. We talked about this the other day. Have stopped the Trump administration from deporting illegals out of the country.
Yeah.
The same anti-American Democratic judges preventing President Trump from exercising executive branch right powers to manage executive agencies. Essentially, the American establishment has stripped the President of the United States from functioning as president. Consequently, it seems that Trump is turning away from his domestic agenda to foreign one, the construction of Washington's empire in the Middle East as a way of making America great again. So this is crazy when you stop and think about it. He's right. What happened to Doge, Austin?
Yeah.
What happened to Doge?
What happened to Audit Fort Knox?
Well, what happened is, you know, this was only going to be temporary anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, they made sure it was temporary because all of a sudden we started finding hundreds of almost $1 trillion.
Here's the irony. they only scratched the top of the asphalt. Mm-hmm. They didn't dig into anything yet with Doge. I mean, they saw, Houston. We already knew Houston was corrupt, which, by the way, was insanely corrupt even more than we thought. They caught a couple of these things. We didn't even dig it. What did we cut out? $100 billion?
No, it's almost a trillion.
No, that's what they tried to cut out. All of a sudden, now it's like, boom, done.
A lot of them are being rehired now.
Yeah.
But that's it. And then when he put all those circuit court judges in, all those federal court judges with Biden, we knew at that point in time that this was a federal court judge.
Well, Schumer bragged about it.
Oh, yeah.
Schumer's in that one interview. He's bragging. He goes, we've got like 250 circuit court judges and different judges that Biden's appointed now. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, again, but this is a win. However, it's still, we need to take this further, keep pushing, guys. And this is one of the reasons why we do this show right here, is getting the truth out here. And it's funny, I talked to Doug Hagman on the last show a few weeks ago in detail about this was one of the big priorities that I was pushing and other groups were pushing, is getting this shot off the shot schedule, because, A, it's opening the doors precedent now to start looking into the other shots. That's first off. Secondly, B, it's actually looking in the best interest of the kids, because while we can turn around and say, well, we need to cut this out or we need to cut this out, having 6-month-olds and 12-month-olds and 18-month-olds all the way up, getting an experimental RNA shot that has unintended long-term consequences.
Well, this is the same thing happened with thiamide and diethylstilbestrol, DES.
Yes.
Back in the 50s, they were giving thiamide and, DES to pregnant women, and they started having these people that were born with short little arms and limbs because of thiamide in the 60s. And then also back in the 50s, they gave the women, supposedly to prevent, miscarriage, diethylstilbestrol, which caused a massive increase in the women's children who were born to these women who took this drug, could not conceive and produce children, and caused massive increases in testicular cancer in the women's sons who took this shot. Now, what's interesting, the mothers who took the shot, and the crazy part about this is that that's what we're going to have here with the COVID shot.
Yes.
But nothing will happen to anybody. There won't be any.
Because what happened is the shot was covered under the umbrella of Comirna, under emergency use authorization.
If 88% of the people now, in a study that was done yesterday, want the vaccine manufacturers held liable, 88% for stuff that they do to kill you and kill your children. And until we get rid of that Reagan-era thing that he did, we're never going to get – this is never going to stop.
Well, no, because if all of a sudden it came out and they said, oh, by the way, have you gotten the COVID shot? We have a multi-trillion-dollar class action lawsuit now. You go, whoa. That much money? Oh, yeah. You start looking at how many
trillions
globally? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The amount of money that Pfizer alone just made off the COVID shot was in the hundreds of billions just in the few years that it was out.
Oh, by the way, I know Mary Lou Retton. Austin knows her, too. He met her years ago.
A long time ago.
She's been arrested for a DUI now and, impaired driving. Now, she's on a lot of medication. And what people need to realize, I don't think she was drinking. I don't think so. It says a 57-year-old West Virginia native was arrested on May the 17th in Marion County for driving under the influence of alcohol, controlled substances, or drugs. All right? Now, she's been having a lot of health problems in the last few years. So I don't think she was out partying and doing all that kind of crazy nonsense. She's like in a wheelchair half the time. She looks absolutely awful, by the way. I mean, last time I saw her,
that sport, I mean, all that gymnastics, it wears your body down. It's like any of those real high-impact sports like motocross and other stuff. As you get older, man, your body just wears it down.
It says most notably she struggled with pneumonia in 2023, which led her daughter to create a crowdfunding page to help pay hospital bills. The fund ultimately raised $200,000. And now they do criticism because they did not talk about where it was going to go. And the Mary Lou Retton says she didn't have any health insurance. Now, I know her. She was really, really nice when I knew her because it was just a few years after she had won those Olympics. But now she got severe damage to her lungs. And it's sad to me. So my deepest condolences to you, Mary Lou Retton, for all the health problems that you've been having, because I know you used to eat pretty healthy way back when. And I really hope you sort through this stuff. And anything that I want to say one more thing about this is don't be driving around under the influence of drugs.
Yeah, even if they're legal pharmaceuticals, they're prescription in your name, always look on the side of the bottle. It says may cause drowsiness. Do not operate heavy machinery. Be careful doing that, because I know of that too. People that have gotten DUI for being on legal prescription pharmaceuticals after surgery.
Well, you can't do it because number one, you're going to be impaired.
Especially if you have a heart surgery and you're using a painkiller, don't be operating a vehicle, man. Have somebody drive you around.
That's true.
And this is also another article I want to cover. It's talking about kids' health. It says kids' breakfast cereal packs more fat, sodium, sugar than a decade ago. Why is it that the nasty ingredients in these foods continue to go up? At the same time, we're seeing the neurological problems and health issues with children continue to go up at the same time. It says a decade-long study reveals an alarming decline in the nutritional quality of children's cereal. They said a single serving exceeds 45% of basically sugar of the daily recommended limit for children.
High fructose corn syrup, super addictive.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. It says they looked out 1,200 new children's cereals launched between 2010 and 2023. Researchers found the fat content per each serving increased from 1.1 grams to 1.5. Basically, the 2023.
And this is bad fats.
And then sodium jumped up significantly. The sugar also jumped up significantly. It said, well, sodium fat content shows the most pronounced increases, while the sugar was less significant. However, you also have the high fructose corn syrup bases, the sugar, not real sugar, and you have the artificial colors. It says, setting kids up for failure. Breakfast sets the metabolic tone for the entire day. When kids start off with a bowl of sugary cereal, it leads to blood sugar spikes followed by crashes. They're tired, cranky, and hungry an hour later. Exposure to online content promoting high sugar breakfast cereals also plays a role, as more and more kids now are getting exposed to marketing pushing these products. Better breakfast alternatives, told you guys before, eggs, even want to add egg biscuit if they need a little bit of carbs. Eggs and oatmeal are great.
Get the organic biscuits.
Yes, organic biscuits, organic eggs, even if you have to, and I've had my son do multiple times, a Fit Food shake if you're in a rush in the morning, you're trying to get something or get back. Eggs, getting a whole meal in is really important for young kids, but make sure you're staying off the cereal, because quite frankly, I can tell you right now, there's maybe one or two things of cereal in my house. There's some organic ones, and they hardly get touched. You know why they get touched? Because don't put them out there to eat. Just because your five-year-old demands they get Lucky Charms at the store doesn't mean they have to have them. Just newsflash.
I mean, what are you thinking, parent?
Well, no. It always is kind of ironic. My kids, they pitch a fit if they don't get them. Well, if your kid wants to drink Drano under the sink and pitch a fit that he can't drink Drano.
Well, and plus, if you never give them Lucky Charms to start with, they don't pitch fits.
Well, and especially you don't continue to give into it. And you make something like a sugary treat, like some ice cream or something. You make that a treat or a fun topic. Not it's the guaranteed staple every single day after dinner.
You remember Tony the Tiger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Frosted Flakes.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they played that commercial all the time for kids. They always do it when they got home from school.
All the time. I remember Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I mean, it was on a loop, boy. Every single commercial break, you had Frosted Flakes going on TV. Every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody. And I remember eating some Frosted Flakes occasionally. We'd be at a hotel or stand somewhere. And I remember I'd just sneak down to the breakfast thing. Yeah. You'd make me eat eggs. I'm like, oh, I had eggs. Now I want my Frosted Flakes. I remember doing it. Yeah. I'd go and open up Frosted Flakes. But again, it was on a rare basis that I got a hold of those. And quite frankly, half the time, I never got to eat them by themselves. I always got a plate full of eggs before I got them.
One time, it was funny, we were skiing in Breckenridge or wherever we were. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
And Austin goes, I want a dozen eggs for breakfast.
12. I want 12 eggs.
I said, you want a dozen eggs?
I was like 8 or 9. Well,
I said, all right. I made you a dozen
cracked
eggs.
The whole dozen. That's been when eggs are like $1 a dozen.
And he ate about 8 of them. He did. He ate 8
more.
Of them.
I probably got about 9 or 10.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
It was
a long time ago, but I remember he couldn't quite finish. I said, that's all right. I'll finish, Moss. I was shocked that you ate that much.
It was a plate of eggs, dude. I mean, I remember I'm like, God, that's as big as my
head.
He
was watching that one movie from the Disney Grooming Syndicate before they became the Disney Grooming Syndicate. It was
Gaston.
Yeah, it was a Beauty and the Beast.
When I was a lad, I ate 2 dozen eggs
every morning in order to get large.
Hey, if that was the worst that Disney implanted into me, though, I mean, all right.
Well, it worked. You pretty large.
Yeah,
also,
I mean, so that was that back then. The thing about it is now the problem is they don't even have any Disney films with funny stuff like that.
No.
It's all a bunch of perverted stuff.
No, it's so funny. I like Gaston.
Man, he's a big old boy.
Yeah, he got killed at the end, but I liked him. He's a big macho male.
He's in good shape, man. He's a big old boy running around.
Yeah, I know. I remember one time I forgot where I was.
Kind of a tool. But
yeah, I remember I was at some kind of party or something, as you know, not a drinking party, but whatever. And I said, when that movie came up, and I said, I like Gaston. And this Jezebel went berserk on me. What do you mean you like Gaston?
He was the villain in the movie.
I still liked him.
I kind of like the bad guy.
Oh, he was pretty. I thought he was pretty cool. By the way, this is an interesting article from the American Thinker by Kevin Finn. It says, before he joined Cash Patel at the FBI, Dan Mangino had a popular podcast, and he talked about the Democrats and what they're doing. And they're talking about in detail how basically Democrats enact policies to chemically sterilize children and surgically mutilate their genitals. And he starts talking about worshiping Baal and Moloch and the archetypes of Jezebel, and how the Democrats basically are following the archetypes of Baal and Jezebel. And I don't know if he realizes that he's basically talking about Kabbalah now. And that the high levels of the Democratic Party, and they wear that little red string around their wrist, they're practicing Kabbalah, which is from the Zohar, which took the Old Testament as far as the old ancient Canaanite religions, ancient Egyptian religions, and combined them into a how-to witchcraft primer. It's a bad, 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 bad religion, if you want to call it one, when they worship Baal and they believe the God of the universe is a snake who wraps around the tree of the universe, and the only thing that you can do to please this God is to have a sex. I mean, it's kind of weird. They have this like a sex death cult. And in addition to that, the closest expression you can have to that God is being a hermaphrodite or a transgender. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Now you start to see why they believe this stuff and why they push to mutilate children like this, including giving them a COVID vaccine, Austin, which could effectively castrate them and prevent them from ever becoming actual men, and women from actually ever ovulating. This is going to be a real problem. You guys wait. If we're still doing the show, which we probably will in 15 years from now, I guarantee you we're going to start having all these problems come out of people who cannot get pregnant. That's why there's so many fertility clinics all over the world right now, because people are having such a hard time getting pregnant, primarily because sperm count is way down, because all the hormones, we talked about that earlier, to emasculate men. When you have a little sissy boy man who wants to basically run around wearing dresses, he's probably not going to be much of a villain as far as in a movie like Gaston. I know.
You know the irony. Here's the irony. Here's the irony, the twisted psychological operation of that film. Everybody was mad at Gaston. Gaston was trying to kill this monster beast that was trying to have sex with this girl. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, a little bestiality.
Why was everybody mad at Gaston? This monster beast living in this mansion with all these twisted cups that are singing, all possessed. Gaston's trying to shoot him. Everybody's like, Gaston's the bad guy. I'm like, but was he really? Was he really the bad guy? I'm just saying. I just thought that.
I like Gaston.
I mean, it was just a side note. One thing I wanted to add on here.
Oh, it's funny.
A lot of people asked me this the other day, and we actually, when we were in North Carolina, we grabbed some eggs. Know your egg labels, because a lot of people get confused with this. This is something that's interesting. If you have the conventional eggs, those are like the white ones in the styrofoam, usually the cheapest ones. Those are the ones that are pretty much, they don't even move freely anywhere. They're stuck like in a roost, can't go. They're just huddled. Cage-free means they roam inside enclosures. Unlimited food and water during laying cycle. Basically, they're all on top of each other. Free range means they essentially get to roam freely, both vertically and horizontally. Unlimited access to food and water. Have access to outdoor space during laying cycle. Pasture raised basically means they have more outdoor space and time, and they have access to grass and vegetation all the time, pretty much.
And those are the ones that get eaten by eagles and hawks and ospreys.
Then you have organic. Those barns must have perches, nesting boxes, natural light. They must not be exposed to any synthetic chemicals or fertilizer.
Yeah, but that's what they say. How do you know this is actually real?
I don't know. I do know one thing you can always tell is the quality of the egg when you crack it.
Well, if the shell breaks very easily, that means it doesn't have enough calcium.
Low in nutrients. Yeah. When you get some of those, and I've gotten some of the organic ones and the pasture eggs, I mean, you got to crack them. You crack them, and you come out as in a nice, big, full yolk.
And it's dark orange.
You know
orange.
It's good. The organic, because the organic ones get really expensive sometimes. I won't even buy them sometimes. They're so absurd. Pasture-raised is the next best option, and some of the pasture-raised ones are usually pretty high quality that I've tried here locally. But again, sometimes you can get chickens or eggs from local places. I've done that many times. I've got friends that have eggs and grab them.
We used to have chickens here until the possum or the raccoon got a hold of them.
Fox or raccoon.
Whatever, yeah.
You made a mess out of all of them. So, again, just something to look at if you're in the store and you don't have access to getting some from some of your friends. When we were in North Carolina, we did that. I think we got some of the pasture-raised ones. They weren't bad. Like $5.99.
Yeah, they were. Well, that's still expensive, but they were better than the $12.
Well, that one time I went to the price gouging peak of 2025, I went to buy those organic ones at Publix, and they were $12.99 for a dozen. And I said, you can keep those. I love eggs, but that's absurd. Paying over $1 an egg now at the store. I mean, that's absolutely crazy.
How do you make money as a restaurant?
You can't. That's why even Waffle House was charging extra upcharges for whole eggs. They actually put an upcharge on it. They couldn't even. I mean, they don't even get high in eggs.
Oh, by the way, whenever you go to a restaurant and you order anything, make sure the eggs are cracked out of a shell.
Because
a lot of times they'll have a container they pour them out of.
And so, I've had them lie before. Sometimes they'll say, "Well, we crack them every morning. We crack them in big
thing."
No,
they don't.
They may be telling the truth. I don't trust them. I want whole eggs cracked, and always request you cook them in butter. When they say, "Are there any allergies?" Say, "Yes, we're allergic to soybean oil, canola oil. I need them cooked in butter."
Well, what'll happen now if you ask them for over easy eggs or over medium? They can't use the liquids.
No, they can't. That's if you say over medium. That's the best way to eat them anyway. ways because they're not all dried out and cooked.
Yeah.
You always know they're real. You can't fake that over medium. Well, I guess you can. Bill Gates is coming out with those fake eggs now, protein-based fake
eggs. Doesn't he have anything better to do with
this? No, he doesn't. Oh, you see, Elon Musk called him out the other day in that interview. It was this lady I was asking about Bill Gates talking about how we need to protect the children, all this stuff. And Elon Musk goes, well, that's ironic. Bill Gates is talking about protecting children when he was incredibly good friends with Jeffrey Epstein and frequented his island many times. And everybody in the audience goes, oh. So again, my friends, get the truth out there. Stay on top of it. We're trying to do this every day for you guys. If you need anything, Team Health Masters, thank you for the support and emails. The product of the week, the B Complex, talked about it yesterday in detail in the show and what the B vitamins do on sale. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win. I think the joint rebuilding formula is actually winning, and the collagen. Both of those are pulling pretty hard.
Wow.
Collagen is popular. Both of those. Yeah. That's why everybody's – and maybe that's a sign everybody needs some joint health this summer.
I tell you what. My joints are doing great. I have zero pain with any of them. It's great.
Well, and you can mix them with a Fit Food. That's what I do a lot of times if I don't have a can.
It mixes up very well.
It mixes well with it. Two scoops of Fit Food, two scoops of collagen, especially after a workout. As I talked to you guys at a research study last month, collagen with protein after a workout massively increases recovery and really decreases pain, joint issues, and inflammation in the body. So stack those two together. Have a fantastic night, my friends.
And you guys remember, Jesus is always the answer. Always continue to pray like it's all up to God and work like it's all up to you guys. And keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate y'all.